Welcome to Get Sleepy, the podcast where we listen, we relax, and we get sleepy. I'm your host, Thomas. Thanks for tuning in tonight. The way this podcast works is very simple. Just pick an episode, press play, and get comfortable in bed. We'll take a moment to relax, and then I, or one of my friends, we'll read you a bedtime story that's designed to gently grasp your attention and guide you to sleep. And of course, the more you tune in, the more effective the podcast will be at putting you to sleep. You can always go back and listen to previous episodes when we don't have a new one ready for your ears. But be sure to subscribe or follow us wherever you listen to podcasts, so you're always in the know when new episodes are released every Monday and Wednesday. Me and the team would love to hear from you wonderful listeners, so please feel free to give us some feedback and share any ideas you have at getsleepy.com, where at the moment we also have a survey up on the website, and we'd love your feedback on that as well, which will really help us make the podcast better for you. Now, those who've been listening for a while may have noticed I've stopped doing the special thank yous at the start of these episodes that I was sending out to all of those who've written directly to us through the website. Now, I'd love to keep acknowledging all of you individually by name, but so many of you wonderful people have gotten in touch that we'd just never get to the story if I carried on doing that. But I will always try to get back to each and every one of you via email, so please do keep sending your thoughts and ideas our way, and I promise you'll hear back from me. And we've had some really amazing story ideas that we're definitely going to work on in the near future. So to all of you who've written to us or reviewed the podcast, please know that me and the team are incredibly grateful for you doing so. Now, for tonight's story, Simon will be taking us through a modernised version of an old fairy tale, in which a girl frees a prince who's trapped in a castle among the clouds. But first, as always, let's just take a moment to relax. I hope you're feeling calm and happy, but it's just fine if not. You may have thoughts that are playing on your mind, and that's certainly nothing unusual. But don't let yourself get frustrated by that. So just take a nice deep breath in, and then release the air slowly back out. Do this a few times to regulate your breathing, to just soften your muscles, slow down your heart rate that little bit more, and just feel more at ease. Thoughts are often inevitable, so instead of trying to push them away, just visualize your thoughts as small clouds floating around in your mind. You can watch them, acknowledge them, but they're just clouds harmlessly floating around. Some may be more white or fluffy, some a little more grey. But eventually these clouds will gently float away. And as they float away, and your mind clears and quietens down, you can listen to tonight's story. begins high up among the clouds in the sky, where a little known magical castle floats in the gentle current of the wind.
Once upon a time, there was a prince who slept in a castle in the sky. Some said the prince was no more than a fairy tale, a story passed on from mother to child late at night. But others knew the story was true. Elsa knew the story was true. Ever since she was a little girl, she'd heard tales of the prince. Her mother would tuck her into bed. She'd pull the covers up snug beneath her chin. She'd stroke Elsa's hair gently and whisper the story in her ear. "Once upon a time, there was a prince," she'd begin. "He was a good and kind prince, beloved by all the people in the land. One day, the prince went out riding in the woods. There, he met a tricky troll. Trolls love riddles, and this troll was no exception.
"Solve my riddle, or I'll send you to sleep in the sky," the troll said.
The prince tried as hard as he could, but he couldn't figure it out. And so the troll sent the prince to sleep in the sky, and there he'd remained ever since. Elsa wondered if he would ever wake up. Her mother said he was waiting for a princess to come and rescue him. But only the bravest and smartest princess would be able to find her way to the castle in the sky and free the prince from his slumber. "Am I a princess?" Elsa always asked. "Of course," her mother would say. "You'll always be my princess." As Elsa grew up, she never forgot the castle in the sky. She looked for it on maps, some new, some old. It was never there. She searched through worn, leather-bound books in the library for any mention of it, but there wasn't a single one. Despite all this, she still dreamed of finding it. When Elsa turned 18, she told her mother she was going on an adventure. She was setting off to find the castle in the sky and finally rescue the prince from his slumber. Her mother knew she was a determined young woman. Once Elsa made up her mind to do something, she'd see it through to the end. "Very well," her mother said. She packed Elsa a rucksack and filled it with apples and cheese, a soft blanket, and a pillow for her head. She filled it with a mother's love and sent Elsa on her way. Elsa set off from her mother's house. Soon, she came to a forest. She'd never been into the forest before. This was an adventure, Elsa told herself, and on adventures, you do things you've never done before. With confidence in her shoulders, she stepped into the woods. Elsa walked and walked for what seemed like hours. The trees around her were tall, with deep brown branches and strong, gnarled roots. They were pine trees, and their needles were clustered so close together they looked like woven baskets. The forest was quiet, save for the occasional chirping of a bird or chittering of a mouse. Elsa walked and walked until the sun began to set. It was time to set up camp for the night. She took out her apples and cheese and lit a small fire to warm her tired feet. She ate her dinner quietly, savoring every bite. Food tastes better after a long walk, she thought to herself. The crack of a twig behind her interrupted her thoughts. Don't be afraid, came a voice from the trees. Elsa turned. From behind the largest tree, a giant white bear emerged. Its fur glistened in the evening light. Elsa caught her breath. She'd never seen a bear before. She wasn't quite sure how to talk to one. But Elsa's mother had taught her to always use her manners, no matter who she was talking to. So that's what Elsa did. Good evening, bear, she said, and invited him to sit and warm his feet by the fire. He thanked her gratefully. It had been a long day for the bear, who had walked many miles from the mountains to find a particularly sweet berry patch in the woods. He pulled out a small pouch filled with berries and offered some to Elsa. She gave him a slice of apple and a piece of cheese in return. Elsa and the bear sat together by the fire, enjoying their meal and sharing stories long into the night. Elsa told the bear about the prince and the castle in the sky. The bear was impressed by her conviction to free the prince. He would help her on this journey, but first, it was time to rest. Elsa pulled out her blanket and curled up next to the bear. She rested her head on his soft fur and tugged her blanket up to her chin. It was warm, and she felt safe with the bear as her companion. Her head rose and fell gently with the bear's breath. She noticed his breath beginning to slow down. They both fell into a deep and restful sleep. The next morning, Elsa awoke to the most tantalizing smell. She opened her eyes and saw the bear cooking mushrooms and wild onions over the fire. He'd gone out early and foraged them in the woods. It was important to have breakfast, he said, to keep up one's strength for the day. She ate gladly and felt the food warm her belly. The bear explained that he'd once heard a story about a woman in the woods who could always lead you in the right direction, if you were able to find her. Perhaps she'd be able to help Elsa find the prince in the sky. Luckily, another bear had once told him how to find this woman. Elsa followed the bear along the path through the woods for miles. They walked and walked all through the morning. About midday, they came to a clearing with a large rock in the middle. Here, they left the trail and walked north-northeast. It was harder to walk through the woods without a path. Elsa found herself tripping over branches. The bear noticed Elsa was having trouble. He knelt down and offered to let Elsa ride on his back. It would be faster that way, he said. Elsa gratefully climbed up onto the white bear's back. She held his soft fur in her hands to steady herself as the bear stood. He lumbered through the forest with sure feet and a steady gait. Left, right, left, right, he walked. Elsa felt herself sway gently back and forth with every footfall. From atop the bear, she could fully take in the beauty of the forest around her. There were large green leaves that sprung up from the mossy ground. Morning dew gathered on the leaves. They were heavy with it. The smallest movement of a nearby animal could jostle them ever so slightly, making the dew run down the spine and off the tip of the leaf in a translucent stream. The ground was dappled with soft light. Small ladybugs crawled on fragile ferns, their red spotted wings bright and cheerful. A dragonfly buzzed near a large purple flower, its colourful body reflecting the light. Every beat of its wings seemed to ripple outward through the air, sending a pleasant buzz down Elsa's spine. What a magical place, she thought. After travelling many long hours, Elsa and the bear arrived at a small hut, nestled deep in the forest among twisted branches and hanging vines dotted with small white flowers. They had finally reached the woman's home. Elsa hopped down off the bear and knocked gently on the door. An old woman answered. As the door creaked open, Elsa could see the woman's face more clearly. Her cheeks were wrinkled with age, and there were deep lines at the corners of her eyes, which became more pronounced as she smiled. She welcomed Elsa and the bear inside. Elsa explained her quest to wake the sleeping prince and hoped the woman might be able to help. The old woman smiled and nodded. She walked over to her kitchen table and from a large wooden bowl produced a small golden apple. Its skin was smooth and bright, not an imperfection to be found. She handed the apple to Elsa. It would come in handy once she reached the castle in the sky. The woman's sister would help Elsa continue on, she instructed, so they must go there. She drew a map on a piece of wrinkled parchment. It would lead Elsa and the bear to the next stop on their journey. They thanked the old woman and set off through the dense forest. After many hours, they came to a valley, marked here and there with enormous boulders the size of houses. They must have rolled down from the mountains ages ago, the bear mused. This is an ancient place. Among the boulders, there sat a charming little house with a thatched roof. Elsa once again climbed off the bear and knocked gently on the door. This time, an even older woman answered. Her eyes seemed to be as old as the hills. She smiled and welcomed the pair inside. Elsa explained their situation and their quest to free the prince sleeping in the castle in the sky. They had been sent here by the woman's sister. The woman smiled wider and nodded her head. From atop her wash basin on the back wall, the woman produced a fine comb made of gold. She handed the comb to Elsa, once again noting that it would be useful once Elsa reached the castle in the sky. The woman's other sister would help them, so they must go to her. The old woman drew a map on a small grass mat. She handed the map to the bear, who studied it closely. Then Elsa and the bear set off across the valley. They walked for miles through the boulder field. The bear, being strong and agile, made the walk gracefully. The valley came to an end at a small trailhead. Looking up at the mountainside, they could trace the line of the trail as it switched back and forth all the way to the top. The bear began the journey up with Elsa on his back. For hours, they walked up the mountain trail. With every turn in the path came a glorious view over the valley, across the forest, to the sea at the very edge of the land. Elsa caught her breath as she took it all in. The path ended near the top of the mountain in a small, craggy clearing with a beautiful turquoise lake that looked like a jewel. It sparkled in the evening light. On the far side of the lake was a small house made of stone, with a curl of smoke coming from its sturdy chimney. Elsa hopped down off the bear and knocked gently at the door. The oldest woman she had ever seen answered and welcomed them inside. Elsa told the third old woman about their quest to wake the prince in the castle in the sky, and that they'd been sent here by her sister. The woman smiled warmly. Sitting beside her bed was a solid gold spinning wheel with a twist of golden thread. The woman told them to take it, for it would prove useful once they reached the castle in the sky. Tomorrow, the old woman said, Elsa and the bear must go to the very top of the mountain and summon the east wind. He would help them find the castle in the sky. But now it was evening. Elsa and the bear were tired after such a long journey. The woman invited them to sleep by her fire, which they gladly did. The bear curled up, and Elsa laid down with her head on his soft fur. They slept soundly until morning, soothed by the crackling fire at their feet. When they woke the next morning, the old woman had packed breakfast to fuel their journey to the top of the mountain. They thanked her and set off. The bear climbed slowly and carefully with Elsa on his back. Up, up, and up they went. The boulders turned to rocks, which turned to pebbles. The grass became short and sparse. At the top, there was a smooth ledge where Elsa hopped down off the bear. She raised her arms up to the sky and called to the east wind. They needed its guidance to reach the castle in the sky and wake the sleeping prince. With her words came a gentle wind. It spoke with words of its own. It told Elsa to sit on the bear's back and hold tight to his fur, for the wind would carry them to his brother, who could help them on their way. Elsa climbed back on the bear. She clutched his fur in her hands and steadied herself on his broad back. The wind lifted up the bear and blew him gently across the mountains to the home of the West Wind. The West Wind lived by the sea. Elsa and the bear found themselves standing on a long, wide beach, dotted with delicate white seashells. Elsa called to the sky above, summoning the West Wind to guide them to the castle in the sky so they might wake the sleeping prince. A light breeze chuckled in Elsa's ear. He would help them as best he could, but they should visit his brother in the south, he said. The breeze lifted the bear and gently whisked them off. They flew and flew for many miles, until the west wind left them on a small southern island with tall palm trees and bright red sand. Elsa called out to the south wind to guide them on their quest. At first, a light wind rustled the palm fronds overhead. Slowly, the wind picked up speed until it was blowing quite strongly. With it came an equally strong voice. The south wind would help them as best he could, but they really should ask the north wind, for it was he who had been to the castle in the sky and could help them on their way. The south wind lifted Elsa and the bear, blowing them clear across the ocean to the top of the tallest mountain in the land. He left them on a glistening snowfield. The northern lights danced overhead, reflecting a magical green across the sky. Once again, Elsa called out to the sky above for the guidance of the north wind. "Why, yes, I do know the way to the castle in the sky," the north wind whistled across the barren snowfield. "Only I have seen those halls." "Hold on tight," the north wind said, as it picked up the bear. The north wind lifted them up into the sky. They flew among the stars and weaved through the magical northern lights. Over the moon they went, until they came to a castle in the sky. "I leave you here," the north wind said. "May you find a way to complete your quest." He left them in a stone courtyard. There were no birds here, no small animals, no trees or streams or mountains. There was just a lonely castle in the sky, floating on a solemn cloud. Elsa hopped down and walked with the bear to a set of large wooden doors. She pulled them open. They found themselves in a large room. It appeared to be the only room in the castle. It had marble floors, marble walls, and a glass ceiling high above. It was beautiful. But there was no prince. Perhaps he was hidden, Elsa thought. She would find out. Elsa called out to the very castle itself. They'd come from far away, traveled through the forest, across the valley, up the mountain to the very end of the earth. The four winds carried them here. Now they were here to finish what they'd set out to do long ago: wake the sleeping prince. Out of thin air, there appeared a marble countertop with a piece of paper covered in elegant handwriting. It was a recipe for golden apple pie. She pulled the first woman's gift from her bag and set to work. She chopped the apple, added cinnamon, nutmeg and cloves, and made the dough for the crust. When it was time, an oven appeared below the countertop. Precisely an hour later, the warm and delicious smell of apple pie wafted through the castle. The bear licked his lips. Elsa knew the bear had worked hard to carry her on their journey. She pulled the pie from the oven and cut him a wedge. He ate up every last crumb. Then, out of thin air, a vanity appeared with a beautiful mirror. Elsa pulled the golden comb from her sack. She noticed the bear's fur was tangled in places from the long journey. She set to work. She combed out each tangle and smoothed his fur until it shone. When she'd finished grooming the bear, a final note appeared on the vanity. This note had no words, but the pattern for a fine golden shirt suited for a prince. Elsa retrieved the gift from the third woman. She set to work at the golden spinning wheel. When she had enough golden thread, she used a spare needle to sew the finest golden shirt ever made. With every turn and wrinkle, the shirt shone like the sun itself. How fine the golden shirt would look on the freshly groomed bear, she thought. She pulled it over his broad shoulders, and as she did, she noticed the bear begin to change. Perhaps it was a trick of the light, she thought at first. But for a moment, the bear looked less like a bear and more like a man. Instead of fur, he had hair. Instead of a golden shirt, he had a purple cloak. Where big, fluffy ears once pointed from the top of his head, now sat a crown. This was no bear, Elsa realized, but the prince himself. He hugged her and thanked her. He'd been asleep inside that bear's body for so long, and she had freed him. How could he ever repay her? He asked. Elsa smiled. She wouldn't accept anything but his continued friendship. After all, the bear carried her most of the way. They both grinned. The castle shimmered with enchantment as the spell lifted. It was time to go home. Elsa called once again to the North Wind. They had completed their quest and now sought his help in returning home. The North Wind whistled with joy. It carried Elsa and the prince to the southern island with the red sandy shores. There, they summoned the South Wind, and he carried them to the beach with delicate white seashells. There, they called the West Wind, who took them to the mountaintop. There, they asked the East Wind to help. He carried them across the valley and over the forest, all the way to the prince's castle by the sea. There, Elsa and the prince waved farewell to the wind. Hand in hand, they walked through the castle doors and lived happily ever after.